Good morning to everyone. If you care to open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 17, that's where our lesson will be taken from this morning. Matthew chapter 17. Before we begin, let's bow in prayer. Our Father, oh how thankful we are that you've given us another opportunity to meet together to worship your matchless name. Father, I pray you would bless us as we look into your word. How we thank you that you've given us and preserved and protected and given us to open and to read and study your written word. Father, how we thank you. And I pray this morning that you would take your written word as it's open and reveal to our hearts the Lord Jesus Christ, the incarnate word, that we might believe him, that we might grow in faith and in knowledge of him. Father, what we pray for ourselves here, we pray for our children's classes that you would bless in a special way. Bless our teachers, bless our young people, that this might be a time where the seeds of faith are planted in their heart. Father, we pray for those who are hurting, who are sick and afflicted. We continue to pray for our brother Aaron and pray for Barb and Father, others who need you especially. We pray for our brethren who've been affected by these storms and pray that you would enable them to recover quickly. Thank you for sparing them from so much of the damage that we've seen. Now, Father, again, in this hour, we pray that you'd show us your glory. All these things we ask and we give thanks in that name which is above every name, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I have a lesson this morning that I pray and trust will be helpful to all of us, something that will affect certainly our everyday lives. The title of the lesson is When Faith is Imperfect. When Faith is Imperfect. And the general lesson that I would like for us to take from this passage of Scripture is this, that the faith of every believer is imperfect. Our faith is never as strong as it should be, and by no means is that ever an excuse for weak faith. You know that. It's just so. Our faith is never as strong as it should be. It's imperfect. But we shouldn't accept that. We should never just accept, well, my faith is not as strong as it should be. But this is also true. There's no reason for us to despair when our faith is imperfect. Because salvation does not depend upon the strength of our faith. Salvation depends upon the strength of the Savior who God has given us to trust. And even though faith is small, even though saving faith is small, it's still saving faith. Just like water in a teacup, water in this glass is water. The same as the high river is full of water. Different quantities, but same thing. Now, I want us to take five lessons from this passage this morning on imperfect faith. The first thing I want us to see is the imperfect faith of a believing father. Matthew 17, verse 14. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him, and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's a lunatic, and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire, and oft into the water, and I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Now, this boy is not a lunatic in the same way we use the word lunatic. He was an epileptic, and the symptoms became worse during a full moon, is what the word means. But now the disease was caused by being demon-possessed, and that is something that was very common in during the time of our Savior's earthly ministry. It was common for this reason, so he could show his power over the devil by casting out these demons. And Luke tells us this demon-possessed boy was this man, this father's only child. And the father brought his son to the Lord because he believed the Lord could heal him. He brought him to the Lord because this is what he believed. He had faith that believed this. He believed that the Lord Jesus was his only hope. See, the father knew this. The son's problem wasn't physical. He didn't need to take him to a medical doctor because his son's problem wasn't physical. It was a spiritual problem. Spiritual problem. So he brought his son to the Lord. Now that's faith. And there's a picture here that gives us awful good instruction for parents. The best thing we parents can do for our children is bring them to the Lord. The best thing we can do is bring them to the Lord in prayer, to pray for them, and bring them to hear the gospel preached. Now, I know you're all here for the Bible classes, so I'm preaching to the choir. But one of the best things we can do for our children is bring them on Sunday mornings to our Bible classes. We've got three of the best teachers you'll find anywhere. Anywhere. The best thing we can do for them is bring them to the services, to the service here, to their Bible classes. Because our children and all of the lost have a spiritual problem. A spiritual problem. It's not a lack of education. It's not that they're in a bad environment. Their problem is a spiritual problem. Their problem is they've got a sin nature that can't be educated out of them, that can't be taken out of them. This father brought his son to the disciples first. He brought him to the disciples first, but the Lord was not there. He brought him to the Lord, but the Lord was up on the Mount of Transfiguration. And they brought him to the disciples, but the disciples could not heal the boy. The only one who could heal his son was the Lord. And there's another good lesson tied back to what I said just a minute ago. Our children need to hear the gospel. They need to hear their pastor. They need to hear their teachers. Because their teachers, their pastors teach the word. They preach Christ. They teach the word that points to Christ. And that's the only means, the one and only means God uses to save his people. It's the preaching of the word, the preaching of Christ. But now listen, the lost need more than the preacher alone. They need the power of God. They need the power of the Holy Spirit. The lost can only be saved by the power of God, the will of God, and the grace of God. Now, they need a preacher, but they need more than the preacher alone. They need a teacher, but they need more than the teacher alone. They need God, the Holy Spirit, to move in power. And that's why we bring our children to the Lord in prayer. He's the only one who can help them. Now, this father had faith. He believed that the Lord had power to heal his son. But look over at Mark chapter 9. This is Mark's account of this very same miracle. I told you that the father had imperfect faith, and I'll show you why I say that. From Mark chapter 9. In verse 23. Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief." See, this father knew his faith was imperfect. I believe. "Lord, help thou mine unbelief. Help mine unbelief. It's so weak, it's frail, it's not what it ought to be." And every believer here can identify with that, can't you? "Lord, I do. I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. It's so weak." Now look back in our text. Even though this father's faith was imperfect, the Lord healed his son. Verse 18. Get in the right place here. "And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour." Now the father's faith, by his own admission, was imperfect, but his son was healed. You know, I can't find one example in Scripture ever of anybody coming to the Lord begging for mercy that they didn't receive it. Not one. Not one. Now, we don't receive mercy because of the strength of our faith. This father, he received mercy for his son, but it wasn't based on the strength of his faith. We receive mercy because of the graciousness, the power of the mercy giver. That's why we receive grace. It wasn't faith that healed the boy, was it? The Lord healed him. The Lord healed him, even though the father had imperfect faith. So that's why I say we should never accept or excuse our weak faith, but don't despair because of it. The Lord healed this boy, even though the father had imperfect faith. All right, the second thing I want us to see is this. There's no faith in the show of religion. Verse 17. "Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me." Now, the Lord didn't make this statement and call this father or call his disciples a faithless and perverse generation. That wouldn't have been true, would it? They weren't faithless. They had weak faith, imperfect faith, but it was faith. They had genuine faith in Christ. The Lord said this to the scribes. I'll show you this in a second. This crowd gathered around that the Lord came to was full of the scribes. And they were there just dripping with their pious, self-righteous, religious attitude. Now, the Lord had been up on the mountain, the Transfiguration. He took Peter and James and John with him. Remember that? Well, he left the other nine at the bottom of the mountain. And while the Lord was up there on the Mount of Transfiguration, this father brought his son to the other nine disciples who were left behind. And when the Lord came down from the mountain, he found this crowd. And in this crowd, leading this crowd, were the scribes. And they were questioning the disciples' credentials. Look back again in Mark chapter 9. I'll show you where we learned this from. Mark chapter 9. Verse 14. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them and the scribes questioning with them. What the scribes were doing, they were questioning the disciples' credentials. They were saying, now, if your master is really the Lord, if he's really the Savior, if he's really the Messiah, how come you can't cast out this demon? I mean, if your master is really the Messiah, how come you can't cast out this demon? Like they're saying this like, if you can't cast out this devil, this demon, you're an imposter. Now, you know, just plain old horse sense that almost anybody, you don't have to have a lot of spiritual light to see through the falseness of this. Here they're telling these disciples, if you can't cast out this demon, it's because you're an imposter. How come nobody's asking the scribes, how come you don't cast him out? They couldn't cast him out either. And now that the Lord has returned, the scribes, they want to see a miracle. And you know why they want to see the Lord attempt this? Because they don't think the Lord can do it. They want him to be discredited. They don't think he can do it. Now you think about these fellows. They've already seen so many miracles, haven't they? They'd already heard the Lord himself preach so often. Yet they would not believe. And this is the scribes doing this. You know what the job of a scribe is? Is to take the scrolls, the written word of God, and copy it. And write it to another scroll. So that they have more than one copy of it. It's their job to read the scriptures and to copy it. If anybody should know the scriptures, it should be the scribes. If anybody should know all of the evidence of the Old Testament scriptures giving us prophecies of the Messiah, who he is, what he'll be like, what he'll do. If anybody ought to know that, it's the scribes. And they didn't. They didn't. They still didn't believe. Yet they make this big show of religion. They're the scribes. They're the, you know, they're some of the most respected people in the community. And that just shows us saving faith cannot come from ceremonies of religion. It can't come from shows of religion. It can't come from a head knowledge of religion. Nobody, absolutely nobody can believe on Christ unless the Holy Spirit is pleased to blow where he listeth, to move where he will in power and give saving faith. And when he gives saving faith, that faith will always be imperfect. Because we're still in the flesh. The problem is not with the Holy Spirit. The problem is not with the faith that he gives. The problem is the flesh that we're in. It'll always be imperfect. But the only way we can have any level of faith is what the Holy Spirit is pleased to give us. And the Holy Spirit gives saving faith through the preaching of the Word. Through the preaching of Christ. It's not through the form and ceremony of religion. It's not through education. It's through preaching. The preaching of Christ. Saving faith is a heart matter. It's not a matter of the outward motions of religion. Saving faith is a heart matter. That's where God deals with sinners. But it's not in the outward show of religion. All right, the third thing I want us to see. The imperfect faith of the believing disciples. Verse 19. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. Now, even the disciples who had been so close to the Lord for so long, they'd heard every message he ever preached. They had private conversations with him. They're not recorded in Scripture. They saw every miracle that he performed, yet they were weak in faith and strong in unbelief. Still yet. Now they believed. Absolutely they believed. But their faith was weak. And that's true of every believer. It's different degrees at different times of our lives, but that's true of every last one of us. We're weak in faith and strong in unbelief. And I tell you why. Being in this flesh weakens the faith. Because the flesh, this old man, all that old man can see and think about and try to do is things of the flesh. Not spiritual things, fleshly things. That old man is constantly trying to get us to look to the arm of the flesh. The flesh is constantly trying to get us to do what is impossible for us to do. And when you try to do something that's impossible, your faith becomes weak. When you look at what you can do in the flesh, your faith becomes weak because you're looking at what the flesh can't do instead of looking at what God can do, what God does do. That'll always weaken our faith. Because when we look to the power of the flesh, the situation always looks hopeless, doesn't it? When we look at what we can do to fix the problem, whatever the problem is, it looks impossible. And that weakens our faith. Because, you know, we can't do anything physical or spiritual. So no matter if you're looking at a physical situation, you're looking at a spiritual situation. We can't do anything. We can't make it right. And that makes our faith weak, because the flesh is looking at what we can do for ourselves instead of looking to Christ and trusting Him and depending upon Him. Our faith is the strongest when we realize our complete and utter helplessness and just rest on Christ. That's when our faith is the strongest. Now that's true. That's just the fact of life for the believer in this flesh. It's still never an excuse for weak faith, is it? No, never. Our God's ability and power is unlimited. Nothing can stop Him from doing what He promised to do, what He wills to do. And since that's true, our faith should never be weak. See, there's never an excuse for weak faith. Now, weak faith, I want to give you some examples of how damaging weak faith is. Weak faith makes it impossible for us to do what God commanded us to do. Look back at Matthew chapter 10. Weak faith makes it impossible for us to do what God's commanded us to do. Matthew chapter 10, verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give." Now the Lord commanded, this is His commandment to those 12, cast out the devils. But in our text, the Lord said they could not do what He commanded them to do because of unbelief. Unbelief. Now the Lord has commanded us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He's commanded us to be a light in the world, to tell people about the Savior, to show people the light that God put in us, to show them Christ the Savior. He's commanded us to give and not to worry whether we'll have enough. He's commanded us to be about the business of worshiping Him and enjoying it. Not worshiping Him because it's a duty. Worship Him and enjoy it. The Lord's commanded us to go through this world as pilgrims. We're just passing through this place. To tell the world, y'all do what you want. I'm just not going to be too awful involved with you. I'll be a proper citizen and those kinds of things. But I'm just not getting too involved. I'm not getting bogged down in the affairs of this world. I don't belong here. My citizenship's not here. I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. That's what God's commanded us to do. And I wonder, and I hate to think, how often I've missed a blessing because I didn't do those things. I didn't do them because of weak faith. Because I was looking at the flesh. I was looking at the temporary instead of looking at the eternal. I was looking at the flesh instead of looking at the spiritual. And this is worth pointing out. I know everything that happens, even in my weak faith, everything that happens, happens according to the direct will and purpose. I know that. I believe that just as strongly as I believe anybody. But we can never blame our failures on the Lord. Say, well, I did that. I sinned. I did wrong. I didn't do what I was supposed to do. And then, you know, but that was the Lord's will. No, now, wait a minute. We can never blame our failures on the Lord. Never. Our failures are always the fault of our weak faith. The disciples could not heal that boy because of weak faith. Israel did not enter into the promised land. It wasn't God's fault, was it? What scripture say? Why did they not enter in? Because of unbelief. The disciples, remember they were in the middle of the sea rowing and toiling and the storm was so bad. And they saw the Lord, the Master, the one that they loved, the one that they believed. They saw Him walking to them on the water and they were afraid. They weren't happy. They were afraid. They thought they saw a ghost. It couldn't be the Lord coming to them. And they were afraid because of unbelief. Peter, walking on the water, the next second is sinking beneath the waves because of unbelief. Oh, ye of little faith. The disciples, how often did the Lord tell them, I must go to Jerusalem, suffer and die and rise again the third day? Well, the Lord went to Jerusalem one day. He suffered and died. And 3 days later, a group of ladies came and told them, the Lord's risen. I saw Him. I talked to Him. He told me, come tell you, He's risen. It's 3 days after He died, and they believed not. They couldn't believe that the Lord had been raised from the dead because of unbelief. Unbelief caused a lot of problems, doesn't it? And often, when we fail to get a blessing from the word preached, it's because of unbelief. And not just on the part of the hearer, on the part of the preacher too. Unbelief. That's shameful. Shameful, 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 shameful. But it's true, nevertheless. It's just so. It's the way it is in this flesh. And we need to remember this. We're in a spiritual warfare. We're not in a fleshly warfare. We're not fighting with carnal weapons. We're not fighting fleshly enemies here. We're in a spiritual warfare. And the one and only way we can be victorious in that warfare is faith. It's by trusting Christ to not only to do everything for me, but to be everything for me. That's the only way we can be victorious. It's relying on Christ to be everything that we need. That's what faith is. All right, here's the fourth thing I want us to see. The power of even small faith. Verse 20, back in our text. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Now, we need to remember that the Lord here is not talking about physical things. He's not telling us, oh, no, if you just have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can do anything you want. No, if I had faith the size of a mustard seed, I'd fly here, you know, rather than like Superman, rather than drive, you know, and deal with traffic. That's not what the Lord's talking about. He's talking about spiritual things. He's still talking about salvation. He's talking about the impossible for the flesh. Being free from sin, being free from the power of the devil. And the Lord said, you can do the impossible if you just had faith the size of a mustard seed. Now, the mustard seed was the smallest seed. Of all the herbs that the Jews had, it was the smallest seed. He said, you can do the impossible if you just have faith the size of a mustard seed. Now, moving a mountain, moving the Rocky Mountains from here to here, here to there, that's not something that's hard to do. That's something that's impossible. It's impossible. Well, believing on Christ and resting in Him, believing that Christ Himself is all it takes to save me, and I don't have to contribute one thing to it, that's not something that's hard for the flesh to do. It's something that's impossible for the flesh to do. The flesh cannot believe Christ. The flesh cannot rest in Christ. The flesh is dead. It has no life. It cannot believe. It's impossible. But if God the Holy Spirit will give us faith, genuine saving faith, faith in Christ the size of a mustard seed, will do the impossible and believe on Christ and rest in Him. That's what the Lord's saying here. See, putting away the mountain of our sin, that's not something that's hard for the flesh to do. It's impossible for the flesh to do. But if God the Holy Spirit gives us faith in Christ, even the size of a mustard seed, that sin, that mountain of sin, will be gone, put away under the precious blood of Christ. Preaching the gospel so that sinners will believe on Christ. Preaching the gospel and making sinners believe what you're saying. Believe on Christ. That's not something that's hard to do. It's impossible. It's impossible. It's impossible for the deaf to hear. It's impossible for the dead to live. It's impossible. Then, Frank, why preach? Because preaching the gospel in faith, believing in Christ, believing that He will bless His word to the saving of His people. Believe that the preaching of His word is never in vain. Believing that God's word is never a failure makes it successful. God's people will believe. God's sheep will be fed. You see, you and I can do anything in the Lord's service if we would only believe. If we do it in faith. Not do it trying to accomplish other means or other goals, but do it in faith. This afternoon, if you have time, if you don't have time, make time. Read Hebrews 11. And see what those saints did. They did the impossible. Every single one of them, you'll read, did it by faith. We can do anything in God's service by faith. All right, here's the fifth thing. I want us to see this. Faith in action. Verse 21. The Lord says, howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Now the Lord mentions prayer and fasting. This is faith in action. Faith even the size of a mustard seed. This is faith in action. This is what faith does. Pray and fast. Pray and fast. Now first, prayer. Why do we pray? Why do we pray? Because we believe God's able, don't we? That's why we pray. And you know, we'll only truly pray about the things that we can't do for ourselves. We'll only truly pray about things that we realize, this is out of my control. That's when we'll truly pray. Well, you know, that should be everything. We should pray about everything, shouldn't we? Because everything's out of our control. Everything's out of our ability to do. And we pray about those things. They're out of our control, but you know why we pray about them? Because we believe they're under God's control. That's why we pray. That's faith in action. I believe these things are under God's control. And then fasting. I've got good news for you. It doesn't mean that you have to fast this afternoon. It doesn't mean not eating food. Now, if you're like me, you look forward to Sunday dinner. Go home and eat it. That's not what this fasting is talking about. It's not physical fasting that the Lord's talking about here. What he means is this, denying ourselves pleasure of the flesh. Denying the pleasures of the flesh. And the pleasures of the flesh is this, it's earning our own salvation. Establishing our own righteousness, at least contributing some of our own righteousness, our own merit, our own doing to this thing of our salvation. Christ can do 99.9% of it, but I want to do the rest. That's the pleasure of this flesh. Faith denies that pleasure. It denies it. And the only way we'll deny that pleasure that the flesh wants so badly is faith. Believing Christ, resting in Him. You want me to tell you when we'll give up our works? When we believe Christ already did it all. The only way we'll give up trying to add to Christ's righteousness is when we believe He's my righteousness. He's all the righteousness that I need. He's the only righteousness that there is. I give up my works. I give up my obedience to the law and rest in Christ when I believe He is my righteousness. We'll only give up trying to make our salvation better and stronger by our own works. And a lot of people do that, don't they? They just want to make themselves, their salvation stronger. They want to, you know, be a better believer, better than everybody else. We'll give up trying to make our salvation better by our works. When we believe, we're perfect in Christ. You can only give up those pleasures of the flesh by faith. We'll only quit trying to get glory and credit for ourselves because of what we do when we believe this. The Lord Jesus Christ should get all the glory because He did all the work. See, this matter of salvation, this is the equation. I did all the sinning and God did all the saving. Well, then He ought to get all the glory. All the stains of mine, all the glory is His. That's denying ourselves. That's denying flesh. And we can only do that by faith. Now, it unfortunately will be imperfect, but that's what faith will do. All right. I hope the Lord bless that to you.